Empower Players. It's your host and founder of Empower Nani. I'm coming to you live with another episode of Power Talk. So welcome to season one, episode 89. Let's go. We are literally 11 episodes away from 100, and I'm super excited for you guys to see the guests that we got in store. But it's all about the guests that we got in store today. And today I got Mr. Ryan Broyles. For those of you guys that don't know who Ryan Broyles is, he actually is a former NFL player for the Detroit Lions. Not my favorite team, but I gotta support. And he went ahead and transitioned from NFL career to real estate investing. He's a big power player, and we speak everything leadership, we speak real estate tactics, and we really understand his story and his journey as a warrior through the NFL, as well as just transitioning into the real estate world. With this being said, I'm super excited for you guys to listen to this episode, but you know there's a couple requirements, and that's this. One, turn off all your distractions, turn off your notifications, and completely hone into this conversation. Requirement number two, make sure you have a pen and paper handy, notepad, crayon, whatever the case may be. Just make sure you're taking notes. Requirement number three, make sure that after you're listening to this episode, after you take notes, you go ahead and you implement it into your life. Because we all know action's cool, but execution is even better. And that's what this show's about, to get you in power of who you are, in power of your brand, in power of your business, in power of your relationship, in power of you, baby. So make sure that you go ahead and execute. I believe in you. And my last thing is this. You ready? I'm ready. Let's go. I am the leader of Empower is an accountability mastermind community that I created just to help individuals get to that next level. And a part of it is providing value. So I bring in big power players like yourself to come speak to the community and just get some insights. And I really like your story. I love what you're doing now in the real estate market, and I just want to dive into it all. So how you doing? How you living? How you being?
I'm good, man. I guess we're all trying to make in these crazy times, right? You know, I see you, Boomer Sooner. Hey, I appreciate the opportunity. Obviously, I've seen you online, and it seems like we connect through social media. And so I saw your page, and I'm like, let me hit the follow button. And you bring always good content and good energized people. So I appreciate the opportunity.
That's awesome, man. And it's so funny because when I saw you followed me, I'm like, really? You followed me? There's no way. And then I clicked your page. And I'm like, okay, this isn't a fan page. So let me shoot my shot and let me try to get him on the show. So I'm excited to have you here, man.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
And during this time, how are you holding up with quarantine? How's that lifestyle for you right now?
Man, it's crazy. So I've got a 4-year-old and he just started school full time this year. So we got used to him being in school from 9 to call it 2:30 in the afternoon, and now quarantine, and we have a 2-month-year-old, so like, just a crazy household. And we work from home too, so it's just full of energy, man. It's
pretty I bet. So just to introduce you guys, I have Ryan Broyles in the building. For those of you guys that do not know who he is a former NFL wide receiver. He played for University of Oklahoma in his college days, broke several records, and then he went forward to playing in the NFL for the Detroit Lions. He played for about 3.5 years, then went to the Renegades, and then he ended up retiring before he actually played a game. Now, with that, he went from NFL to real estate, and I love that you've gone the route of financial independence, and that's what we're going to talk all about with you today. So thank you for being here.
Oh, great intro, too. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Let's do it. So tell us a little bit, Ryan, because I want to dive into your entrepreneur side, but I do want to know a little bit about your history, early childhood, some of your role models, your perspective. So if you can, tell us a little bit about your childhood.
Okay, so I'm from Oklahoma. I was born in Oklahoma City, lived there 5 years. My mother brought me and 3 other siblings to Norman, Oklahoma, where the University of Oklahoma is. She essentially said she wanted a better life. She grew up around the streets, you know, siblings in and out of jail. And she was like, I don't want that for my kids. She moved to the suburbs and grew up here, man. It's been a great place all the way through high school. Got a lot of offers out of high school to go play football. OU offered me, you know, they were winning championships, had great players, sending guys to NFL, great coaches. I was like, why not, you know, go 2 miles down the street and go to the University of Oklahoma. So I did that. And you know, life's been crazy, but not to go too far speed ahead. As a child, man, it was all sports. It was all beating up on my brothers and sisters. You know, it was just fun and games growing up, you know, great mentors along the way.
And I love that because I always love to know an athlete's insight of values and an insight of what they learned growing up, because that brings so much grit into who they've become. And not just saying athletes, but it's different when you play team sports, and it's different when you're passionate about it, and it's different when that was your career. So what are some values that you learned early growing up that you still hold as an adult and into your real estate business?
Well, I guess first and foremost, you know, it's you won't have results unless you put the work in. And so, you know, being an athlete my whole life, you know, it's about getting beat up and overcoming and making a way. It's about going into the weight room, getting stronger, working on your weaknesses, and then going into the football field and making plays. And so, you know, I've taken some of those principles, core principles that we should all live by. You know what I mean? You know, you work hard, you respect what you do, you enjoy what you do, and you'll see fruits from that. But I brought that into the real estate world. You know, I know the X's and O's of, you know, I've seen the highest CEOs and Bob Stoops. I've seen professional athletes. I've seen GMs at the highest level, multi-million dollar companies. I've seen the way they run those things. I've seen the structure and the schedules. And, you know, I bring that into my business. So, you know, it's no different than me being a receiver, watching film, then going out and producing. I sit back, I analyze my business, I figure out where are the holes in, plug and play. So football has been a great part of helping me transition into the business world.
And I love that because, you know, most people hear about athletes having this opportunity to these funds and, you know, having all this money and riches and buy this, buy that, buying liabilities. You learned at an early age and early into your career that you didn't want to buy liabilities. You wanted to buy assets. You wanted to buy assets so much that you actually went on Google and Googled, how can I build up wealth? How can I build up assets? So with that being said, can you describe to us a little bit of entering into that entrepreneur world and seeing that bigger picture? Because I think a lot of NFL players don't think anything besides, hey, football's life, right?
Yeah. Well, it's crazy. You know, I get this question all the time. And I think what got me to that point was just growing up. You know, at 8 years old, you know, I started mowing lawns. At 10 years old, I was mowing lawns to get money to go to basketball tournaments. You know, I saw my parents work all the time. You know, I knew the value of the dollar. I knew what it seemed, what it was like to wake up and the hot water tanks cold or the electric's off. Like, I knew those things and I knew how to work. So I worked all the way through essentially fifth grade on. You know, my first job was at Albertsons. I was a referee in high school. Even in college, the summer times, I worked at the YMCA. So it was always hustle, always understood the value of money. And then I met a mentor, actually my freshman year in college. And she was big into real estate. You know, where I came from, there was not much formal education. It was, you know, we were paycheck to paycheck, trying to figure this out. And so meeting my mentor, her name is Rachel, she gave me my first job. She was like, hey, this is what you can do if you continue to perform on a football field. And so she talked about real estate and investing. And so really my whole college career, I was mentored into that. And then, boom, I get drafted and I was ready to study and figure it out myself.
Wow, that's awesome. Because I don't think that most people have that advantage, right? Like you said, during your college years, you were learning investing. You were learning how to have financial independence. And a lot of people don't do that. And college, especially football players, I have friends, they like to party, right? And they're
let me rewind you back to that first conversation I had with my mentor. So I'm in college. She put the bug in, but I'm still an athlete. You know, the big man on campus sometimes. I still live my life, and I wouldn't post in my books. It wasn't like I was studying for real estate in the stock market at that point. But the big moment for me was she planted the seed in my senior year. I tore my ACL, my eighth game of the year. I had the opportunity my junior year going to the NFL early, came back, wanted to break some more records. I get hurt, and, like, I'm literally thinking life just stopped. I worked my whole life. My draft stock's gone. So, like, that was a really wake-up moment. I'm sitting on the training table, and the doctor's like, Ryan, like, it's gone. Your ACL's gone. And I'm just crying, like, what do I do? So I was like, God, just – whatever happens, wherever I get drafted, whatever money I get, I'm going to make the best of this.
Yeah.
So that kind of prompted me going into that. And the rookie symposium, when I was a rookie, they talked about finances, what to look out for. And I just was hungry at that point. I just grabbed books and Google and just started running.
Well, you said 2 points there, right? And I think that this could go into play right now. You said, one, you had a mentor. Two, they planted a seed. And I want people listening to this to understand that mentors plant seeds in you, and eventually something will grow out of it, but it will only grow if you water it or if you nurture it. Unfortunately, but fortunately for you, you had an ACL injury. So the thing that was watering it was that tears and those fears of, holy shit, like, what if this is done? Like, what if this is my career now? So I love that. And let's start diving into now getting into that entrepreneurship spirit. Like you said, you're very hesitant to do your first deal, your first investment. And then you end up just hopping into it, splitting it in half, doing, was it a buy and hold? Or was it just like a single
family home? Buy and hold,
And then you ended up putting in 80K as a split, and then you got that first bit of profit, and then you got the bug. You were like, boom, I want to get into
homework. So I'll talk to you about my first deal. So made it to the NFL, got my first check, had a friend back home. It was like, hey, Ryan, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, hey, my mom flips houses. And I'm like, all right, well, I know a little bit. I read some books, so why not take a chance? So it was at the bottom of the housing market in 2012, which at that time I didn't know anything. I didn't know about the recession. I was a little kid, you know. But looking back on it, it's like it was a great time to get started. So 2012, found a $19,000 house that was on the $19,000 house, this 1,300 square feet. It needed about $20,000 work, so I funded the whole thing. They did the work. I get the appraisal done. I'm in it for 40. The appraisal comes back at 80. And I'm like, this is my first deal. But I did listen to somebody that knew what they were doing. They taught me a little bit. That worked. And I was like, all right, let's keep going. I just haven't stopped since.
So you say that in the recession happens and you saw that it was a good time. So my question
is, I wouldn't say that. Looking back on it now, 8 years later, like going through another recession, I know. But when I was a freshman or a rookie, I didn't have any money. Recession didn't mean anything to us. You know what I mean? Yeah. So,
definitely. So,
but looking back on it, yeah, for sure.
So would you say right now what we're going through with this pandemic and Corona, I was speaking with Cody Sperber. He's a real big real estate mogul. And he was saying that, you know, before it was a buyer's market, now it's a seller's market. So what would you say right now in the sense of, is it a good time to get into real estate? And if it is a good time to get in real estate, what strategies should people start? Or should they start buying homes, or should they start honing in on the skills? Because when this is up, then it's a good time to be into it.
Well, I will say this first and foremost is every market is different.
Yeah.
Buy and hold play might work better somewhere. A build somewhere else might work better. An Airbnb might work better. So it just depends on the tools that you have. But I think there's always a good time to buy real estate. You know, if you're going to be a buy and hold investor, you can buy, wait for the wave, have a tenant pay down your liability, money in your pocket when you sleep. I don't think there's ever a bad time. But I think as you get more sophisticated, you will want to not time the market, but you don't want to get in at the top. You're going to wait. And so like right now, we don't know what's going to happen. You know, this first month of tenants have gone through, we actually collected about 94, 95% of all our leases or our rents. So next month, are people going to be back to work? We don't know. So if you're going to make a small pay, it's okay. But if you're going to go buy a 50-unit building, you want to think twice about it. And I'm sure your investors have said the same thing.
That's awesome. Now, what would you say so far that you've enjoyed the most out of being an entrepreneur and diving into this real estate? And what has been the biggest headache for you or the biggest, you know, setback for you in it?
I guess, so there's two sides. So being an entrepreneur, I look at that as one thing, and then your occupation or what you do. An entrepreneur is a mindset to me. I like to call the shots. I like to research. I like to be the person that sets things in motion. So now that I've been in the real estate world, me being an entrepreneur, I can jump in the game, learn a system, and then find either my wife or an employee or my brother or somebody, give them the tools of what I've learned and let them do their thing. So entrepreneur is definitely a mindset, but you know, it's been real estate's been good. You know, if I'm a buy and hold investor, we do some burst strategy where you go and add some value is always good. I guess the downside to it, I don't know much downside to real estate. Yeah, you do have tenants that don't pay. That's a part of the game. But I'm not looking at today. I'm looking at what is my value of this property going to be in 5 to 7 years? How many times can I refinance this deal? How many times can I maneuver this money to make more money? So it's a game to me. I enjoy it. If there is a bad time, like if I bought a bad deal that, you know, I thought the roof was good, and 2 years, 3 years later, the roof goes bad. You know, you got to fix it up or patch or whatever it might be, and you keep moving. But yeah, you just, if there's anytime there's a bad time, I'll find a way and make it work.
I love that. And what I'm going to go ahead and do is let Brad from St. Pete's, Florida, go ahead and ask you a question. So Brad, if you want to go ahead, unmute yourself.
Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
What's up, Brad? I saw you up there at the top, man.
Hey, thank you. So, so I just wanted to ask you a question. So with me, like, you know, I'm not really an athlete. I love sports, you know, that's like, I'm a huge sports
fan. Yeah.
But what a lot of times, like a lot of my friends are into sports, and, you know, I have some friends that are playing in college right now, playing college baseball. And a lot of times, you know, like one of my good friends, he always will say that he's like, he doesn't think he can make it pro. Right. And with me, like the way I think, you know, obviously I wasn't an athlete, but I think if I had that opportunity that I would have put in the work and done what I had to do to get there. Right.
Yeah.
So what's like a good thing to really like, you know, kind of help people that like are athletic that want to make it pro and go to that next step? Like, what's the best advice you could give to somebody like that?
Well, just hearing that, you know, you've got an athlete, your friend, he's probably going to practice every day, and he's saying he doesn't think he can make it to the league. Like, that's a red flag, bro. Like,
no, that, and
why are you out here? Like, we're here to perform and to perform at our best. I'm trying to figure out a good way to put it. My coach used to say all the time, if you don't want to be here, don't be here. So I've always been taught, if you're out here for this two-hour workout, give your best. And then one of the best quotes, I guess, I heard, and I was thinking about this morning, is who you are will always show up in whatever you do. If you're a halfway studier, you're going to be a halfway practicer. If you're halfway this, you're going to be a halfway that. Be all in, you know? So really just, he's got to find the juju. I don't know. Find the guy that he wants to be like. I guess when I was an athlete, I always wanted to be the best person in my position. So if you just think small, and then once I started to conquer that, I would be the best receiver in the nation and then conquer that. You know what I mean? So it's just your heart, man. I don't know if you can coach it, to be honest with you.
Yeah. For me, you know, I'm always trying to coach people. And actually, I'm not as good of friends with that guy anymore just because he has limiting beliefs like that. Like, I don't limit my beliefs at all. One of my goals, like, I actually am getting into, I sell title insurance right now, but I want to get into investing in real estate.
Yeah.
So, like, that's one of my passions. That's what I've wanted to do since I was younger.
For sure.
And what the other goal that I've had since I was younger that I want to pursue is actually ending up owning a sports team. So I know I can do it. You know, people will say, oh, well, you know how much money it costs on a sports team? Yeah. You know how many sports owners there are?
Yeah, for sure.
You can do it. So that's one of my goals. I have it on my vision board that I want to own the Rays. And, you know, it's really one of those things that I think that, like, you know, some people, they limit their beliefs and they don't believe that they can do something. But if you believe you can do something, you can accomplish it. So that's what I always love to just, like, you know, especially, like, it's awesome to be able to pick your brain about that too, because, like, you had that goal, you had that dream of, I want to be the best receiver in the NFL. You made it in the NFL because you had that dream. And now you're doing real estate and you're still doing it. So that's awesome, man. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I can hear your enthusiasm. It sounds like you don't just have a goal, you have a plan. You know, everyone can say, I want $1 million. And then you have the person, like you said, oh, I don't think you can, or the negative, you know, the Debbie Downer. But it's like, have the goal and then have the plan in place. And it makes it more feasible. But believe it or not, there was a study, I don't remember the name, but say there's a population of 10, just call it 10 people, right? Half of the population will be that questioner. They won't even jump, right? 30% of the people will be in the middle, and they might make a play, they might not. The other 20%, 10 of that will shoot their shot, and then they'll stop when they fail. And the last 10%, they're going to be all in, and they're going to find a way. And my thing is, if that person can do it, I can do it. They're human, just like me. It's that simple.
I love that. That's powerful. Did that answer your question, Brad?
Oh, definitely. Thank you, Ryan.
Yeah, good luck to you, dude. Just keep shooting your shot, man.
Hey, and
I like it. You gotta shed the fat sometimes, man. It's just, you gotta protect your energy. I completely get that.
Exactly. And that's the thing, man, is like I've always loved sports, but I've never been an athlete, you know? So, and I like to surround myself with athletes. I've done that since high school, sure. You know, and stuff like that. It's like, but I'm not an athlete. So I was like, and I love the business side of sports, you know, I want to get into that. So
you want to be around driven people, man. That's, I can see it for sure. Awesome. You don't have to be an athlete to feel it. I can see, you know what I mean?
No,
you
I know.
I like to be around like-minded people, man.
Yeah, that's awesome. It's great to connect with you, man. Cause, and just like I said, you know, think about how many sports owners there are. People are like, oh, yeah, you can't, you know how hard that is? Yeah, I do. But think about how many people have already done it. If somebody else can do it, I can do it. So I love that you said that. Thank
100%,
you.
100%, dude. Heck yeah.
So going into that, what characteristics or skills would you say is most important when you are building up your business or you're building up yourself in your entrepreneur journey? Because I think these skills would also be important in an athletic spectrum, but let's take it to like an entrepreneur side. What characteristics or skills have you seen been the most important or the most impactful while you're building up this business?
It's a loaded question. I guess I would start by saying that you have to be a driven person, obviously, you know, what's going to make you get from A to B, and you have to have a goal. So somebody that can see a vision, a CEO mentality, and say, this is where I'm trying to be, and these are the steps that I'm going to do. If you can have that vision, I think you'll have your foot in the game. But obviously, you got to overcome adversity. There's going to be naysayers in your life that are not going to believe in you. You're going to fail. You're going to make bad investments. You know, it's where do you want to be in the long run? And you just eliminate the noise and you keep moving and you keep learning. You got to be self-motivated. You got to be somebody that can be self-taught. You know, you can go to the conferences, you can pay for the coach, but if you're not willing to hop on YouTube, on Google, on Instagram, and learn from the people out there that are doing it and giving you good energy and information, you're not going to make it. And you might need to take the secondary role.
Yeah. You know,
being an entrepreneur is not for everybody.
Definitely. And I love that you say sometimes you got to take the secondary role, because you did that as you grew more in real estate. You had partners with a lot of your deals. You had a mentor with a lot of your deals, and you didn't hit the ground running on your own until you felt that moment of, okay, I got this. Let me go ahead and take this incentive. And one thing you talk about is having blueprints. You have blueprints for your deals. You have blueprints for your goals. You have blueprints going forward. So what are some of the things that an entrepreneur or someone that's an individual listening to this can start blueprinting their way for success during the pandemic? Whether it's real estate, whether it's just making sure that they're having a game plan.
Yeah, well, if you got extra time on your hands, it's always about figuring out what avenue you want to go in. It's very basic. If you want to go and be the next Tiger Woods, or you want to be the next baseball owner, you know what I mean? You go and you figure out who are the players in that field. Let me learn from them, whether it's reading a book, watching them nowadays on Instagram. What's their demeanor? What are they talking about? Don't go and just jump in and try to reinvent the wheel. You know, they're successful for a reason. There's a blueprint. There's books about it. What are they doing? And you keep it very basic. And so, like, when I was a rookie in the NFL, and I hop on Google after the rookie symposium, I get paid, and I literally Google, what do rich people do with their money? And it was one of two things. They invest in the stock market, and they invest in real estate. Boom, they just told me what I need to get done. And then obviously you go down the rabbit hole there. And so I learned from this investor, I learned from that person, let me try this. Oh, this is what they talk about. This is how you communicate with the bank. And it just evolves. So you just find out what avenue you want to go to, keep it basic and simple, and just jump. You know, a lot of people will just do this overanalyzing this, or they'll try something and move on to this. It's like, if you have that goal, this is where I want to be. Just to step into it.
I like that. And my question, I guess, would be, so you started learning more about personal finance, and you speak about how you've turned a great income, and not only have you turned your funds into a great income, you've turned it into a great legacy because you're building up generational wealth, right? Now, I guess my question to you is, in the beginning, you did real estate. So are you investing in other investments other than real estate now? Have you honed in those skills for the stock market?
So I am invested. My retirement stuff is in the stock market. It's a long-term deal. When I originally started investing, I invested in the stock market with a financial advisor, and then I slowly got started in real estate. And so once I got comfortable in the real estate world, I understood I had more control. And then I started liquidating my funds from the stock market over and kept my retirement stuff there. But yeah, that's essentially how I started. And like you mentioned, personal finances was huge. You know, I wouldn't be in this position today if I was living off, I don't know, $500,000 a year. You know, I wouldn't be able to work from home. I wouldn't be able to build these portfolios. I wouldn't be able to see my kid, you know, at lunchtime, go on field trips, stay at home when he's sick if I didn't do the personal finance. And it was just strategically about putting yourself on a budget. You know, a lot of people will say, well, Ryan, you made this, this, and that. At the end of the day, when I was making that money, I probably spent less than you did. You know what I mean? And so you just have to build those principles. And then once that's a part of your life, then you can start to invest your money. Cool. And that's just the trajectory I took.
So investing starts with mindset and discipline, not just coming in with the money, because you could have the money, but it could be a huge loss if you're not frugal with it.
Yeah, you could go get $100,000 on Bitcoin, you know, in 2018 off of $1,000, you know, and the next day you could go and throw it away.
Yeah.
You know? And so, at least for me with real estate, you know, I'm putting my money in an asset that's going to perform long term. It might not just blow up today, but I know it to every month that mortgage is getting paid and my net worth is growing. It's almost like a conservative piggy bank.
Definitely. Passive income, cash flow. Everybody likes cash flow. So what I'm going to go ahead and do is let Joe ask you a question. Joe is actually from St. Pete, Florida as well. Okay. Shout out to Joe.
That's a beautiful place out there. St. Pete is awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, man. St. Pete's good, man. I'm born and raised Oklahoma. And, you know, you see that Boomer Sooner. And, man, heartbreaking 2009, 2000. And then we go, you know, lost Bradford. And then, you know, Landry comes in. You had a monster season. What was it, 2010? And then coming in again, man, that heartbreak. So I'm not trying to relive tragedy. What I'm trying to do here, I'm big on mindset, man. I'm huge on mindset.
Yeah.
I was a victim mindset for a large part of my life. You know, I just lived that, you know, Peter Pan lifestyle, lost my dad, and then I had to kind of build my mindset after that big loss. Entrepreneurship follows sports so closely that when we look at athletes that succeed, man, like people hated on Tony Romo for how long? And then you look at him now, my God, can you picture a bigger win after sports when you go into something like that, you know? Yeah. So getting through what you would consider and what many would consider, man, you're at the top of the world. You're setting the world on fire in the NCAA. Right. And then everyone fully expected you to take that transition in the NFL and go. But, you know, God's got a different plan. Things happen. And it was the way it was. What do you attribute to working through that kind of, you know, set down to get back up, to get to where you are now and to keep pushing on at that same level?
Man, it's my whole life, you know, it's just, we don't stop, you know what I mean? We don't stop. I never set out to be one of the best receivers in college football history. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I didn't set out to break all these records. It was just, I set out to every day win the day.
If I'm play like a champion today, right?
Yeah, if I'm at practice in fifth grade, this dude across from me is not going to catch the ball on me. You know what I mean? It's just that, it was just that simple, and it just started to build. So, all right, I tear my ACL. I've been moving my whole life. What am I supposed to stop? Like, right. No, I'm going to find a way, and I'm going to keep moving. But I will say this. You know, the whole, what was that? The time when they say shut up and dribble to an athlete.
Yeah.
We're more than athletes, you know. I happen to be good at football, but I always knew that, yo, like, it's not going to be here forever.
Right.
You know, it's not going to be here forever. So I got to do something outside of here. Mm-hmm. So I think as you get older and it just – let's go, man. It's that simple in my mind. Yeah. That simple, yeah.
Yeah, when you don't quit, you can't fail, man. And you're a true testament to that, man. So, you know, hats off to you for sure, man. And a salute. Yeah. I appreciate the answer, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah, well, I'll say this, though. You know, there's always trials and tribulations in life. And, yeah, you know, a guy make it to the NFL after tearing his ACL or something, people should be like, oh, this is so awesome. We had bad days, too. You know what I mean? Yeah. We had bad days, too. Everyone's human. So it's like, where do you want to be? What do you want? Design your life. And, you know, life's not fair. You know, something's coming, you know. Right. So just make the best of it.
Very true, man. Thank you. And Boomer!
Yeah. There we go. Sooner, baby.
And with that time, was it around the same time that you went to that trip in Haiti? Around the springtime, did you get this injury? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So now that we're on that mindset topic, I want to ask this because I definitely owe a lot of my
success and a lot of my turnaround to my faith and finding my faith. And I know that in 2011, you took a trip to Haiti. And one thing that I was memorized by that you stated was you saw poverty, right? You witnessed it. You saw no roofs. You saw people without food.
You did your research.
This is the power talk, baby. We got to go. We got to have the right info so we can give the right value. So you witnessed poverty. And for me, at-risk kids and at-risk people and just bad situations, I love it. And I love it because a lot of people have the best attitudes. And that's something that got you, that you saw these people in poverty, but you saw that they had the best attitude. You saw that they were so grateful. You saw that they were still happy. And then when you came back, you fell more into your faith. With that, can you kind of explain that experience a little bit more? Because especially if this was around the time you got injured, I'm sure you were probably not to say questioning it, because I don't want to say as a Christian, you can't question your faith, because I think that's what makes us a believer, right? That we can question it, but we still believe. So at that time, can you kind of explain that experience?
Yeah. So, what was it? Sooners for Haiti. It was, they take about 15, 20 football guys a year. They go down to Haiti. So between my junior and senior year, I was one of the 15. They say, we're going to go out here. We're going to, you know, help this orphanage, outside of Port-au-Prince. We're going to help. I think we painted the school the first time. I've been back three times. We're going to paint a school, and you're going to mingle with these orphans, you know? And so I'm like, oh, I'm going to go over here. You know, they know we're athletes. Yeah. We're going to talk some sports, shoot it up, shoot the breeze. So when I get there, like, life just changed, you know? So like, we get off the plane and we're going, I don't know how much time we have, but we get off the plane and we go into the portal. Right? Nothing was functioning. They were taking the bags off the airplane, throwing it through a hole. And I'm sitting here like, this is wild. So we get our bags and we put them in shopping carts. So we're going from America where we don't need anything really to a third world country. And I didn't wrap my head around it beforehand. Throw our bags into shopping carts. We go outside the airport. There's UN trucks with machines and machetes, and there's homeless people through a fence asking for food. And my world just was just night and day. We're driving to our location, and you see this water coming down this valley, and you've got a horse in it drinking. You've got someone cleaning their motorcycle. You got someone getting water half naked to take back to their family. And my mind's just blown. We go into the Mission of Hope. We go into church, and I'm thinking my whole, like, the hour light up there, like, these people are super poor, like, I don't know, like how they even surviving. We go to church, and they're praising God more than I've ever seen anyone praise God. And I'm like, they have nothing. They praise Him more than we do. So I was shook up. I got so much out of that trip. I go home. I started getting rid of stuff. And you got to think about this. So I'm a junior. I'm about to go get drafted. A big man on campus. Everything's good, you know? I'm completely broke, and I come home and I'm like, man, I got too much, you know? And so it definitely was like, Ryan, you were fortunate. So when I tore my ACL, I'm still alive. You know what I mean? I still have an opportunity. That's, you know, awesome. I just saw life different. But I did grow up in the church too, but that was a part of my life in Christ, where it was just like, you know, it really solidified who I was.
Yeah, no, definitely. So what would you say right now in your season that you're in, what inspires you? Because for me, I believe that inspiration is something that is in spirit. It moves your soul, but not the same thing that inspired me 2 years ago is the same thing that's going to inspire me now, unless it's that one big mission for you. So what inspires you?
What inspires me? That's another loaded question. You know, I have more mental clarity. I just turned 32. When I talk to people, I say at 28 years old, life, it didn't slow down, but there was more clarity. I knew which direction I was going. So now at 32 years old, you know, the fluff's out of there, the try this, to try that, to sensely out of there, and I know where I'm going. So it's just more simple in my mind, you know? And so I'm just inspired for a simple life and to build, like you said, a legacy. So when I wake up every day, I want my kids to have something that I wasn't able to have, you know? And so, and I want to build my life where I can work at home. I can do what, you know, I can be a part of my kids' life. I'm not locked up somewhere in an office. So I'm inspired. I essentially have control of that, of those things.
Now, I like how you talk, because you're saying you want to be able to be in control of your life, in control of your time. And then you went on to discover a career that has passive income that will give you that freedom, right? So I usually ask, what are some tips to get your business to serve your life and not run your life? But my question to you is, what are some tips to actually be able to live a life that you're fulfilled with, that you're of service with, rather than living a life that you're running around all the time from? And I ask that because, you know, ex-NFL player, real estate, you're a dad of two, and that's a lot. You know, I'm not even in the NFL, and I feel like I have a lot of shit going on of my own. You know, I have my little girl, I have my group, I have things on the side. So it's overwhelming. And sometimes I do feel like, fuck, man, life is running me right now. So what are some tips for some people to have a life that serves them rather than a life that runs them? That's the question.
Yeah, I'm human too. You know, I feel like I'm in the rat race, even though I work from home and I've got rental properties. You know, it's just, life hits you in different ways. You know, my boy's 4 years old. When he was 2.5, things were slower. Now it's faster. I don't have much time to do things. So now it's just being strategic about it. You know, at this time, this is what I'm going to do. And really just canceling out the noise. So for instance, we feel like we don't have a lot of time because we're always processing information. There's a lot going on. Like this past week, I got completely off of social media. And I felt like everything was quiet, literally quiet. So I think I might supplement with that every now and then, because it just made things simple. I get to focus. I get to stay in my lane, what I do on a daily basis. And it's just like the 10 to 15 to 30 minute windows that we're filling ourselves with social media. Not that this is a whole talk about social media, but remove the noise.
But it's a big thing right now, especially being home. It is big. I got stuck on TikTok for 15 minutes before the interview.
Yeah.
And it's hilarious. Yeah. And it's like something that most people are just sitting there stuck on it. I have discipline enough to be like, okay, well, I got an interview coming up. Got to get off.
Yeah. Well, now there's times where I go in cycles on Instagram stories, and I'll give you 5 posts a day. And then it's like, all right. And then I'm checking back because I got to reply to the people. Then you got the post, you want to engage. It's like, that's a whole life in itself. So really my life is hectic, but I know what I have to get done on a daily basis. So really people can sit here and say, you need to meditate, you need to do this. It's just sit still, put the phone down, breathe, think. And I think that's what's helping me. So if you can get that advice, helps, that helps. I'm sure everyone, you know, you might drink some green tea. You might, I don't know, whatever. You might get in the bathtub, whatever works for you. Just had to find the happy medium, I guess.
Love it. So I know you're a risk taker. You have to be a risk taker, one, to be in real estate, and then two, just to be an entrepreneur, and three, just to be an athlete. So when was a moment for you where you started really embracing risk? Because I feel like for me, mine was 1.5 years ago when I started this up. And I've done a lot of things that you would say is risky, but I felt like this was mine, all on my own, no partners, trying to build a brand where no one knows you. That's a risk, you know, because it's scary. Who's going to follow me? How am I going to really like it? Does my logo, is not my logo something you'll wear? Like, you know, it's things like that. So when did you start embracing your risk? And what are some tips for people to start embracing risk, especially right now?
Yeah, well, I guess I touched on it earlier. You know, when you realize there's not that many people taking risk, you're already ahead of the game. You know, if you've heard it before, you know, there's not much competition at the top. You know, and that could be in any category. And it's simply stating that there's not everyone's going to take the job. Not everyone's an entrepreneur. So hop in your lane, work it. If it doesn't work, spend some time on it. And then let's go to the next thing where I can control my life and I get to dictate the outcome. Whereas if you're someone that sits back and takes the orders, it's not bad, you know, but you don't really have control on your vision. You had a vision here with your podcast. You know, and I'm sure you sat down and spent many hours developing those things, and you're like, all right, this is what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
And have confidence in that, you know, that you are human just like the other successful person. What makes them better than you? There's no telling. They might have more money than you. They might have a better education than you, but that doesn't mean they have more heart than you. That doesn't mean they can outwork you, you know? So just jump, you know? And if it doesn't work, then it doesn't work. You know, you can blast around the world and say, you know, this is what I'm doing. If it doesn't work and someone wants to tear you down, you need even jump. You know, like that is just that simple to me, I think.
And I love that.
Obviously, a few years ago, you know, I was more hesitant to make a mistake, you know, but you've heard it before too. It's nobody really cares. Everyone's consumed with their own life, right?
Yeah.
So just keep it moving.
I love that because A-Rod and Ed Milette did a podcast episode and they dropped it like 2 days ago and they speak about no and how no is like a freaking vitamin. It makes him just grow and it makes him want it more and it makes him like
when someone tells him no,
you know, or if you take a risk and it doesn't go out good, it's like, okay, an entrepreneur or a strong individual, not just an entrepreneur, gets back up and gets back up and gets back up until it works. And a lot of people, what I realize, and I know it from me, I've had two businesses. I've shut them down. One didn't work, shut down the other one because I wanted this. And when I see some people criticize me, it's so funny. Well, two of your businesses didn't work out and you had to make this one. It's funny that someone would criticize you with that. And then you got other people that are like, man, like, how are you still going? Like, I don't know if I could have done it if I had to close down two businesses. And it's like how you described it. That person that heard no, that person that had risk, there's a bigger why behind it. And anytime you tell me no, anytime I can't build something, I'm going to make it bigger. So I love that you speak on that.
To piggyback on that, you know, what did I say? It takes 7 failed businesses to be successful.
Yeah.
And all you need is the one, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you learn from failure 1 to failure 2, just like in real estate. Yeah. I know those deals I won't ever touch again. You know what I mean? I know the partnerships I don't want to be a part of again. And you live in your life and you learn and you hopefully you don't do those things and you're stronger, you're better. Just like when you go in the weight room, I can lift 10 pounds a day. I beat myself up enough better than just gonna be 20. I'm gonna come back stronger.
Yeah.
No different.
Definitely. So speaking of real estate and speaking of some bad deals, what is a bad deal that you've had where you're like, man, I learned my lesson from this one and I'm not gonna do it again?
Yeah. So I bought like 26 units at one time. And this was after I bought, probably had about 10 at that time. I bought 26 of them. The 10 that I bought before, I was still in the NFL. So it was like, it was kind of hands-off property managers. But when I got in full time, I bought a hugely distressed value. Now it's a value add. But at the time I bought a distressed property that I wouldn't say I paid too much for, but I underestimated the repairs. And it literally took me a good 5 years of recycling that cash flow from that property to get the properties up to value. Whereas when you get into real estate, you want to be taking that money back out. You know, if it's not on a monthly and annual basis, I just continue to recycle that to build the properties back up. They got reappraised. The equity was awesome. The cash out refinance was awesome. But it was one of those deals where it's like, I'm a much better investor now because I know what to look for. When I go into a property, I know I don't want that headache. So I know I either need to come down with the price point or just forget it all together. So doing that and recycling the cash flow over a 5-year span, when I go now and buy properties, I know how to vet the distressed property and get it up to speed much quicker. Okay. And so that's what I do now. And we buy distressed properties. We add value to it, we turn it around, refinance, get a tenant in place, and then keep recycling the money.
Cool. So my question is, I'm sure you've built a lot of a very wide network, especially building relationships to get good deals or to network with people for good deals. So what are some tips for individuals to have to build good relationships that are actually not only a, hi, this is Joe, hi, this is Brad, it's a, hi, this is Joe, and I know that when I contact Joe, Joe is going to leverage this. And, hey, Joe knows when he contacts Ryan, Ryan has this for him. So what are some tips where you could build up those strong relationships that end up being monetized or end up being an opportunity?
Yeah, it's just don't just go around shaking hands. Know that you've got a plan in place and how you're going to use that specific person. And so when the opportunity comes, for instance, I knew I was buying distressed properties before that. I'm online trying to figure out reviews, who does a good job. So when I get a property, I'm not just getting a bid from this guy. I'm putting this guy to work. So he knows, okay, he's using me. Same thing with the bank. Hey, this is what I got going. When I come back to you, we're going to do business. Not just fluff conversations, touching. It's when we're talking, we're getting it done. You know what I mean? And it's a mutual thing. And I was telling my wife this morning, like, it's awesome. So I just got my license, real estate license. I've been investing for 7 years, got my real estate license. And now it's, I don't only just buy properties and put tenants in places and hire employees to help me run those things. Now when someone wants to list their property with me, I get to find an inspector. You know what I mean? And now inspectors get money. and hey, title company, we've got a good working relationship. I'm going to send all my business through you. So it's like just a cycle of blessings, you know? And so
yeah,
that's been awesome feeling that, you know, at first it was all about hoarding, and now it's like, man, yo, I can help you. I can help you. I can get you in a good problem. Like, it's synergy for sure.
And I love that because, you know, me, I like to read between the lines. For me, what you just said is I need to build up relationships that are going to alleviate the stress from me or that I can leverage from as well. And a lot of the times we want to delegate, but when we delegate, we don't think of a relationship being placed. We think of a delegation as a damn headache. Oh man, I got to reach out to this person. Oh man, I got to see like this. But like you just said, it takes a village. So that delegation that you're doing, make sure that you're looking for a delegation factor or a strong alliance that's going to be able to, one, monetize off of you helping them out, and then two, also see you as a gateway to opportunity. So I really, really love that. Now, I know we don't have much time with you, but I do want to ask you, how would you define success? What's success for you?
Success for me is having a goal and accomplishing it. You know, I don't think it's just a one-off deal. It's, yo, I'm trying to put on 10 pounds of muscle. I'm trying to lose 20 pounds. And you accomplish that, that's successful. That's what makes you feel good. You know, if it's starting a business and I even jump and take the leap, that's success. And I don't think it's not a dollar. It's not a landmark. It's what did I do that I accomplished that? My to-do list today, is it done? Boom, I feel good. Like, you can reward yourself constantly. And that's how I see success.
Now, do you have a team under you with your real estate, or is it just you doing deals and you have your partnerships?
Yeah, so I have one partner on our deals. We split 14 properties together and the rest are mine. But he's essentially giving me the keys. You know, he trusts what I do. But outside of that, you know, my wife helps me. I've got an assistant that helps me. Obviously, I've got my handyman, my title company, my bankers, you know, so it's a whole team deal.
It's a whole team. So then that will go to my questions. What values would you say are important in being a leader, or at least demonstrating good leadership? Because like you said, you may not have a team where it's, hey, these are the people working under me, but you do have a team because you have your handyman, you have your assets, basically, a part of your business. So what are some important values to have as a leader?
It's a good question, because I'm a no BS type of guy. But really, I just, what you say, your word needs to mean something. You know, I don't undermine anybody. I feel like in my business, we're on the same level. I might have the money to get the assets, but I can't get this deal done if I don't have the bank. I can't get this deal done if I don't have the handyman. I can't get this deal done if my wife's not helping me. You know what I mean? We need that each other. So I just see eye to eye with everybody. And I don't feel like anybody's irreplaceable, but I don't want to replace people. If I'm doing this business, we are going to bond. I know how you communicate. I know how I communicate. We know, handyman, hey, can you get this done? Here's the list. Oh, we know Ryan wants this done in a week. If it's this job, it's a week. Like, I want people where we can adjust and we can feel each other. And then give them the leeway to get it done. I don't need to check on you all the time. You know, like, hey, let's get it done. I feel like since they feel I see eye to eye, then it's a mutual deal. Like, I'm going to take care of you. You're going to take care of me. It's been good, you know.
No BS.
BS. Let's get it done. And it's not always work too, though. You know what I mean? We have life outside of work. Everyone gets to do their own thing. But obviously we're talking about business. But yeah, it's just, no BS. I'm a good dude. Grab your lunch. Let's hang out. It's not just all about the money.
Awesome. I love that, man. And I really do appreciate you coming on the Power Talk, giving us some value and just learning a little bit more about you and answering these two fellas' questions. It's always nice to have someone as humble and as knowledgeable as you in the Power Talk. So my last question for you is, if you could have dinner with any legend, dead or alive, who would it be and why?
Oh man, and this is a business talk. If it wasn't business, I'd probably say Michael Jackson. I love Michael Jackson.
Oh, it could be whatever you want.
Yeah, it would be talking business with you. One, because man, Michael Jackson, obviously as a kid growing up, listening to his music, seeing him progress, and he was in the limelight his whole life, and he just got to the point where he just made his own identity. You know, we all know that. You know what I mean? It's like, how did you get to the point where you just said, it don't even matter. You know what I mean? So I would like to talk to him about that, because at the end of the day, if you don't care what others think, you can do whatever you want. But I guess somebody, that's a loaded question, you know? Michael Jackson, I'll just keep it there, man.
Yeah, we'll leave it there. It's all good, man. And where can people find more of you? Do you have a podcast? Is it just your Instagram? Where can people find more of you and what you're up to?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. You know, I do more on my Instagram stories than anything, at Ryan Broyles. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook as well, all at Ryan Broyles. So you can see
me. You gotta get on YouTube, man, and start putting up some videos.
I know. People talk about podcasts. You know, I just enjoy hopping on here, you know, and just being good people. You know, you're the brains. You're inspired to do that. I feel like I would fail if I did that. So I'll just hop on when you need me.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. Thank you so much. And if we can, go ahead and take a picture with the man, the myth, the legend. So 1 second.
Oh, yeah. Hey, you need to send that out here, man. I'll sign it up for you. Yeah.
Ready? 1, 2, 3. Thank you so much, Ryan. And what I'm going to do, if it's okay with you, I'm going to go ahead and give Joe your email. That way he could figure out how he can send that helmet up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure.
Well, I appreciate you.
Good talking to y'all.
Have a good one.
All right.
See you, Ryan.
Yeah.
See you, man.